Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? You were not convincing. Not convincing. How is everybody doing this morning? That's a little bit better. I guess it's the heat. Yeah. We're all a little lethargic. I felt that way yesterday. It's pretty hot yesterday. I did look back where we're from in Chandler. Tuesday, it's supposed to be 117. So we're sitting here in the, you're right, the humidity is not as much, but 117 is extremely hot. So I'm just telling you. But it is hot, and so today, how many know that it's good to be in the house of God? It's good to be here. I want to start out and do something a little different, okay? I want Jonathan and then my son Jake to come up here. Do something a little different here. All right, Jonathan. I have here your ordinary orange. Jonathan, go ahead and with a little bit of, you know, don't take your time, but go ahead and peel that orange. You got your trash can here. Peel that orange. Jake, come up there. This is my son, Jake. Everybody knows Jonathan. Say hi, Jake. Jake loves being in front of people. You know, my wife and my son here just got back from a mission trip in Guatemala. They came back this last Monday. And to see, as they were posting pictures and to see, number one, a dream of my wife's to be able to go out of the country and minister the gospel is that a juicy one?
Yeah, that's a real juicy one.
Sorry, man. I was trying not to get that one. Was a real, as a father, it was just huge to see the pictures as my son was laying his hands on these young kids in Guatemala. And as my wife was praying for these adults and the young kids in Guatemala, it was powerful. There was a couple times I was by myself. I was a bachelor for 10 days, 11 days. First 3 days were great. I watched all the movies that I've been wanting to see for a long time that nobody else wants to watch. I ate. It's not what?
Just crumbling.
All right, well, that's fine.
Crumbling.
All right, so, Jake, take half that orange, just the half that he's already peeled. There you go. And eat that orange. Just eat a few bites. Okay. A couple more bites. Man, that is a...
It's really juicy.
Man, my whole thing just went out the window. But anyway, now Jonathan, can you tell me if that orange is sweet or sour?
Without eating it? No.
You can tell me though, right?
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. So, and here's my point. And you wash your hands. In Psalms 34:8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." So if you have never tasted it and you don't know the goodness of God, how are you ever be able to tell? It's hard to tell somebody the goodness of God if you've never tasted and seen. So you can peel that orange, and it's juicy and as messy as it got. And that's life. Life's messy. But when you taste and see that God is good, all things change. So this morning, that was kind of a side note. That's not really a part of my message. Thought that'd be fun, huh? So this morning, I want to talk about the rain is coming. The rain is coming. And it's interesting that the Lord laid this on my heart, being in the season that we're in. We need some rain. Amen. We need rain here in North Texas. And I'm sure Chandler, Arizona needs rain. When we lived there, it was months before they ever saw a drop of rain. It was the desert, but it would be months before they saw rain. So today I'm really going to be talking in 1 Kings chapter 18 and Elijah, the prophet. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Samaritans had been in a great famine. For 3.5 years, there had been no rain. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine for 3.5 years, absolutely no rain? The people barely had food, and they were barely surviving. The prophet Elijah showed up and said to King Ahab, "I hear the sound of abundant rain." So here Elijah is. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. He approaches the king and says, "I hear the sound." Can you imagine the king's reaction? What do you mean you hear the sound? We haven't had rain in 3.5 years. And you're telling me you hear the sound of rain? So he says, "I hear the sound of abundant rain." When he said that, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. There was no sign of rain at all. Yet he chose to believe what he heard the Spirit say in spite of what he saw. With his eyes, he saw drought, famine, barrenness, but down in his spirit, he heard the sound of abundant rain. So here's Elijah. God spoke to him and said, "There will be rain." So as we pick up in 1 Kings chapter 18, 41 through 46 is what I'm going to read, but I'm really going to break that down. So we're going to read the first two scriptures, and then I'm going to hit the pause button. And we're going to go back to it. So in verse 41, it says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go and get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming.' So Ahab went to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees." Really want to hit the pause button. And today, I want to get what I'm going to call Church 101. And we're going to get real zeroed in on prayer and what it means to really pray and how to have a consistent prayer time. So to be a disciple, we must have a consistent and effective prayer life. It has to be consistent and it has to be effective in your life. So what is the purpose of a daily prayer time? I'm going to give you four things, the purpose of a daily prayer time. The first is we want to give devotion to God. So in 2 Chronicles 31:21, it says, "Hezekiah was successful because everything he did in the spirit of complete devotion to God." So the second thing there, we want to talk about to get direction from God. So the purpose of a daily prayer time is to give devotion to God. Number two is to get direction from God. "Show me the path where I should go, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to walk. Lead me." We want to get direction. So in your daily prayer time, you say, "God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want to lead me today?" It's a it's one of those prayers that I pray on a daily basis. "God, give me direction." About probably 4 years ago, I was driving to work, and in the state of Arizona, panhandling is not illegal. You can panhandle. There's a lot of homeless all over the side of the intersections and so on and so forth. So I'm driving to work one morning. It's early. It's probably 5:15 to 5:30. And I notice a homeless man sleeping next to this building as I make the intersection. And I see this homeless man sleeping in the next to this building. And I thought, and the Lord prompted me, "I want you to stop and talk to that man and tell him that I love him." And I'm like, "Ooh, God, I'm late for work." And I passed on by. And then, have you ever done this? I played this game with God. You know, God, if he's there tomorrow morning, I'll stop. If he's there tomorrow morning, I'll stop and I'll say, have you ever done that? If he's there tomorrow morning. And so, knowing that I believe that God was going to work, I began, I put this little package together, water and crackers and things like that. And so that next morning, sure enough, that homeless man was laying on the sidewalk next to a building, is sleeping. It's early in the morning, it's 5:15, 5:30. So I thought, okay, God, how am I going to approach this? So I parked my car and I grabbed my things and I walked up to him, and I didn't want to scare the man. I mean, he was sleeping, right? So I just gently, you know, got down on one knee, put my hand on his shoulder. Obviously, it startled him, and turned and he looked up at me, and I just said, I want you to know that God loves you. And I have some things, some tangible things. Here's some water, some treats, some crackers, some snacks for you today. So sometimes we've got to get direction from God, and it takes us off our normal routine. Amen. It takes us a different path, but I was able to share with this gentleman that God loved him and believe that the Holy Spirit would begin to move in his life. So sometimes we've got to take time out of our busy schedule to look to those that need Jesus, because there's a lot of people that need Jesus. Amen. We can look at this world and say, God, please come back. We're ready for the rapture. We're ready for God to come and take us, because of all the just horrific things that are going on in the world. Just last Thursday in Branson, Missouri, I don't know if you guys heard, but there was 17 people that lost their life in a boating accident in Branson. I don't know, have you ever been to Branson? I'm going to see. There you go. I knew there's a lot of hands up in here. I knew it. Branson, Missouri. Used to live in Kansas City. Was not very far away. So I've been down there several times. They have these things called ducks. So they're old World War II vehicles, amphibious vehicles. And so it was a tour. And they would drive on the road in this tour, and then they would go into the lake and kind of tour Table Rock Lake, and then they'd come out of the lake and finish the tour. There's a huge storm that blew through Branson, Missouri, made the water very rough. They were saying it was 5-foot waves out on this lake, and it capsized this duck, what they called amphibious vehicle. 17 people lost their life, everyone from a 1-year-old to a 72-year-old. One lady lost like 7 members of her family. She was the only one that survived. 9 members of her family. So sometimes we see all these things that are happening, all these great tragedies. And as I was reading that story yesterday, my heart was just broken for these people that suffered just horrible loss. And it's easy for us to get in this mindset of, God, just take us. God, just come back. But how many of you know that the rapture is not a rescue mission? It's a pickup for a wedding date. So while we're here, we have to make the best of what we've got. And we've got to share the love of Christ. And we have to get direction from God on a daily basis and say, God, what do you want me to do today? The third one is to gain delight in God. In Psalms 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight, to gain delight in God. And the last one there is to grow more like God. How many of you want to grow more like God? 2 Peter 1:4, it says, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and serve God. We have these things because we know him. These gifts you can share in being like God. So we need to grow more like God. So the four things, that the purpose of a daily prayer time is to give devotion to God, get direction from God, gain delight in God, and grow more like God. So you may be asking yourself, well, how? I've never had a daily prayer time. I've never been consistent. Like me, several years ago, it was inconsistent in my life. Daily prayer time was inconsistent at best. How many of you have ever been there? And you don't have to raise your hand, but it was inconsistent at best in my life. Until I began to apply these principles. And the second thing that I did is, how do you begin a daily prayer time? And again, I'm going to go back and say this is Church 101. But how many of you know that we always need a refresher in what God has for us? So how do we begin a daily prayer time? There's two things that I want to focus on in how we begin a daily prayer time. So the first is, you select a specific time and place. How many of you know that we are creatures of habit? We're creatures of habit. I'm sure a lot of you have a routine that you do in the morning. Some of you may put on your clothes a certain way. So you may brush your teeth first, maybe brush your teeth later. Hopefully you brush your teeth. I hope you're laughing because I'm right. Hopefully you brush your teeth. Hopefully that is definitely a part of your daily routine. But every one of us have a daily routine. So as you begin to set that daily routine, you put in a time and a place for God. And as it becomes habit. So reading the word and praying should become habit in your life, just like brushing your teeth. So as you wake up in the morning and you get through and you start your day, you should start your day with God. Now, one thing that I used to do is I used to really not be a morning person, which is kind of weird because for 12 years I was up at the crack of dawn, 4:30, 4:45 every morning, and I still am not a morning person. So I always thought, you know what, I'm going to do my prayer time at night. Well, how many of you know that that never worked out for me? It never worked out for me. Why? Because things of life just begin to roll. And time you got home from work and all these things that happened, you were like, man, you just didn't have a lot of time for God. And that was my excuse. So when I begin to shift and put my daily prayer time at the beginning of the day, things begin to move and happen. So find and select a specific time and place. So the second thing is, follow a simple plan. How many of you have a smartphone? You just have a smartphone. There is an app, the Bible app. How many of you guys have the Bible app? How many of you know that there's all kinds of plans, Bible reading plans, on that Bible app that you can do continually? What I like to do is the 1 year Bible. How many of you guys, you do the run of your Bible? I love to do the 1 year Bible. So I'll tell you a story. When I first started to do the 1 year Bible, and some of you may relate to this. If you do, don't raise your hand. But as I begin to started the 1 year Bible, I begin to notice myself, and you can do this. You can move forward in your plan with really not reading Scripture. And you can kind of just skip days, and then you can kind of skip weeks, and then you can move to skipping months, and then you can do this. There's a little button in there that says "Catch me up," and then you can hit that button that says "Catch me up," and then all of a sudden you're back to, oh, okay, it's day 73, and now let's go again. So as I begin to move and see that what I was doing was not effective in my prayer time and reading the word and getting that word inside every day, I begin to say, God, how can I begin to be effective in reading this, in reading your word? So I followed this simple plan. And what I used to do is I used to beat myself up every day if I missed a day. And some of you may be here and say, man, I've missed 3 days of this Bible reading plan. Don't beat yourself up. Pick yourself up, get back on the plan, and move forward. So I'm not so much concerned about how much of the Bible you read, but I'm more concerned about how much of Jesus you find in what you read. Because you can read all these things and you can move through it quickly to try to get through your plan. But if you don't find Jesus in the scripture and what you read, you're just reading. You're just moving forward to complete your plan. And it's not about that. It's about finding Jesus in everything that you read. So as we continue in verse 43, it says, then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. So here Elijah, God's giving them this vision of rain, of a torrential downpour. And he's up on Mount Carmel and he's praying and he's saying to the servant, I want you to go and look to see if the rain has started. So 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Now finally, how many of you are like that in your life? It's you're told something over and over and over again, and sometimes you miss it, and it's been there all along. Sometimes you got to see it in a different way. So finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Now, let's pause here. I find this interesting. So this is not what Elijah was telling King Ahab of this small little rain cloud. But, and that's all this servant see. How many know that sometimes in our life, we may get so focused and we have blinders on that all we can see is this small little cloud. And we don't see the big picture and we don't see the major rainstorm that's coming and that God has for our lives. So finally, he sees a cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot, go back home. If you don't hurry, then the rain will stop you. As soon as the sky was black with cloud, the heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly to Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. I think this is the greatest thing in the world. This reminds me of the superhero. So the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. How cool is that? So here's Elijah. He's on top of Mount Carmel. And mind you, he's been praying, right? He's been seeking the Lord about what God has given him, this vision of rain. And one man only sees a small cloud the size of his hand, and Elijah sees a major storm coming. And then God gives him the supernatural strength. And I can see as the servant is in his chariot and he's riding back to Jer- all of a sudden Ahab's got his cloak tucked in his boat and he runs right past this chariot all the way to the gates. That's amazing. You can't tell me that the Bible is not amazing. And God is amazing. So how many are you ready to see God in a different way? Sometimes we may look at God as a small little cloud and we put God in this box and say, God, you can only do this much. But yet God's saying, I have this big storm and I'm ready to drop. And I believe that God, there's a rain coming to Vision Church. There's a rain that's coming to this place. Before we left Chandler, there's a friend of mine by the name of Chris, spoke a word over me and my family and talked about revival and revival coming to Vision Church. Now, none of you know Chris, and Chris has never been here, but I've held tight to that word ever since he texted that word to me. And I believe God is up to something. But here it is. We've got to see him bigger than the cloud that's the size of our hand. We got to believe that God can do more than what he's already done. See, I don't want yesteryear's mammon. I want fresh bread. I want today's bread. I don't want bread from 10 years ago revival. I want what God has for us today. And I'm saying, God, bring the rain. Rain. And as I begin to pray, could not sleep last night. And I put my headphones in, and my wife wakes up. She says, "What are you doing?" It's about 2:30 in the morning. I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just listening to music because I cannot sleep." And God was just stirring in my heart that revival's coming. Rain's coming. And it's going to look different. Hear me. It's going to look different than you've ever seen it before. It's going to be different than you know of what's past. And here is how it's going to work. As us, as a body of Christ, begin to apply the principles of prayer and reading the Word, and we get direction, and we move forward, and we see people. And I love so much last week, your message was just point on about compassion and having compassion for people. As we begin to see people in a different light and see that God has something for them, then we begin to change. How many know revival starts in the individual? It starts within us. So if each one of us begin to seek the Lord, pray and read his word, and seek the direction that God has for us, we begin to well up. And as you're driving down the road and you're listening to worship and God gets a hold of your heart and your life, like he does me, like he did me this morning. I mean, you know, there's sometimes that I drive down the road and tears are just streaming down my face. I can hardly see. It's probably not a good idea to drive and do that. But God, I want God to get a hold of your life in a way that's never happened before. I want you to see yourself in a way that you've never seen yourself before. That you can be used in ways that you have never been used before. That God has a direction and a passion for your life. So, as I begin to close, God is ready to bring the rain to Vision Church. And I battled back and forth the last several time, last few days about this video that I've decided I'm going to go ahead and play. All the way up until this morning, I was battling back and forth. But I believe that it is timely. So I want you to watch this video. It is lengthy, so I want you to watch this video. You know, sometimes we just need a shaking up. We just need to be shaken up a little bit in our heart, because we get so relaxed in what we do and our day-to-day grind that we forget about there's a whole world out there that need us, that need the body of Christ. They need the church. Your friends, your family, they need the church. They need Jesus. Your co-workers, they need Jesus. And it begins inside of us. It begins as we begin to say yes to Jesus and no to this world. Yes to God and no to what the world has for us. And we say, God, I want more and more and more of you. More of you. Because as you begin to get more and more of God in your life and in your heart and in your soul, then all the other things get pushed out. And you begin to saturate your heart and your mind with the things of God, all the other things will begin to go away. So this morning, two things, two opportunities that I want to give. First opportunity I always want to give is for those that have never asked Jesus to come in your heart. So real quick, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Xavier, begin to play that music. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just a lift of hands. If that's you this morning and you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want to do those, so this morning I want to give you that opportunity. Just a raise of your hand. Amen. So the second thing, the second opportunity that I want to give you, if you're ready to see the rain come into your heart and into your life and into this church, if you're ready to say, God, I want more. I want more of you. Less of this world and more of you. I just want you to join me up here at front. I think this is safe to do. I think we're doing good on time. If that's you and you say, God, I want more of you. I want to have a heart and a compassion for those that are around me. My family, my friends, my co-workers. This place needs to be a hospital for the hurting and the broken. Not just a country club for us to come in and sit every day, every Sunday, and say, okay, God, what can you give me? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you talk about being comfortable, and comfortable people don't move, right? But how many of you know that it's okay to be comfortable? And this is what I mean. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, right? So it's okay to be in the comfort. But we can't be comfortable in what we're doing. Do you understand that? Because we get set in a way. We want to be with a comforter, right? We want to be with the Holy Spirit. But we don't want to be comfortable. We want to say, God, move us and shake us and move us beyond what we have. Let's pray and we'll wrap this up. God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, it is all about you. It is not about us. It's not about our desires, our wants, our needs, God, but it's all about you. It is all about you today. I pray today as we go, we say this simple prayer. Who can we touch? God, guide and direct us today. Guide and direct us today. This week, those coworkers that need a touch from you. God, I pray that we would be your hand extended to them this week. God, any interaction we have with those that are around us, with family, pray, Lord, that your hand would be extended. God, that you would use us. Use us, God. Let us be an empty vessel so you can fill us up. God, so we can pour into somebody. God, we thank you for what you did this morning. And God, we pray from this day forward, things are not the same. It's not usual Sunday. But God, we come in here every Sunday expecting you to move. Anticipating you to do something awesome. God, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus, and what he did on the cross. We worship you. We give you the praise and the glory. Pray that you'd bless each household that's represented here this morning. God, bless them spiritually. And God, bless them financially, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We give you the all, the praise, and the glory. It's your precious name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. And, you know, if you didn't enjoy this morning, me speaking, Pastor will be back next week, okay? So you'll be right in the good hands, amen. Guys, have a beautiful day. Appreciate you. Love you. And we'll see you next Sunday. See you Wednesday, those that can help out for Wednesday's outreach. Thank you guys so much.